The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Please keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times.
This is your final warning.
Now, here's your host, Mr. Thrill Ride himself, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, this is hour two of the Eric Metaxas Show. No time for joking. We're in an historic moment. I'm talking to John Zmirak. We're playing the testimony, or rather the clips from the speech yesterday from the press conference given by the president's lawyers, Rudolph Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and Sidney Powell spoke and answered questions. I want to say Sidney Powell is a profound evangelical Christian. Jenna Ellis is a profound evangelical Christian. I know her personally. John knows Sidney Powell personally. If you listened to the first hour, and I hope you do, we will put it out ASAP, and we will certainly get it on our YouTube channel, The Eric Metaxas Show. I ask you to share it, to listen to it. We've also put up the entire press conference because, frankly, there's no substitute for that. I think every American should listen to it himself. But let me say that because these people are trustworthy, John and I are horrified that not just the mainstream media, like ostriches with their heads in the sand, but that conservative media, Fox News in particular, took some really nasty swipes. Actually, even Laura Ingraham yesterday, I have no explanation for.
They all got the memo. If you want to stay on this network, you will help us prepare the Biden transition, and they're all doing it.
Okay, well, I don't know whether I can agree with that or not, but I will
we'll see, won't we?
What's that?
We'll see if more evidence, when the evidence is produced, when the president's team produces the evidence, will they report on it or will they continue to say stuff about like Giuliani's hair and Sidney Powell's outfit and Jenna Ellis's smile?
Well, let me just say one thing. Yesterday, there was a very, very nasty article put out by CNN. Now, I'm not surprised. That's what they do. And what it did was it quoted Jenna Ellis saying mean things about the president 4 or 5 years ago. And it made a whole article out of it. In other words, let's take what she said back before she knew Trump, before she worked with Trump, before she turned around. I mean, I made fun of Trump before I decided, no, I think he's the man, right?
So did I.
They turned it into a whole article at CNN.
This is what happens when you have a whole propaganda machine fighting against three people. This is machine like in Eastern Europe.
But my point is that I expect that from CNN. It was a vicious, uncalled for article. But Laura Ingraham tweeted it out to her zillion followers. And with two words commenting, it said, not good. And I thought to myself, here's what's not good. You're giving fuel to that fire and tweeting it out. Why would you do such a thing? Why would you draw attention to the fact that CNN is saying these mean things? Or are you, in fact, implying that Jenna Ellis is in trouble because 5 years ago she said something? I mean, it was so bizarre. Look,
Eric, what's happening is there are elements in the Republican Party that never liked Trump being there in the first place. They want to excrete him. They want to pass him like a kidney stone so we can get back to the likes of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan and John McCain and his heirs, where the Republicans are the Washington generals who were paid to lose gracefully to the Harlem Globetrotters every single game. Once the Washington Generals beat the Globetrotters and the whole audience booed them as they left the arena with the audience booing because they weren't supposed to win. That's Donald Trump. He wasn't supposed to win.
Right.
People like us are not supposed to win. The permanent
right. but,
ruling class doesn't want Trump, and so they're united. Okay,
but the point is that I absolutely do not see Tucker as among that group. Absolutely categorically.
Time will tell, Eric.
I'm just telling you right now, I don't. Laura Ingraham, I can't speak. I don't know where she stands, but I will say, John, that there have been heroes. Lou Dobbs has been heroic.
Yes.
Jean Pirro has been heroic.
Maria Bartiromo
has been heroic. And usually Tucker has been heroic and may still be heroic. I don't know how to read the last part of his thing yesterday, but let's play a little bit more of Sidney Powell's speech yesterday, because I want my audience to hear more of this.
So we have mathematical evidence in a number of states of massive quantities of Trump votes being trashed, just simply put in the trash like you would on your computer with any file, and Biden votes being injected. That's addition to the flipping. I mean, it really happens in two ways. There's an algorithm that runs that automatically flips all the votes, and then each operator has the ability to go in, override settings. They can ignore signature. They can ignore the top line of the ballot. They can go down ballot and select who they want to change the results for. The gentleman who founded Smartmatic, there's video of him on the internet explaining that, yes, at least one occasion he admits they changed 1 million votes with no problem. Many of the jurisdictions that have had this problem might not have known of the issues, but many did. And I think a full-scale criminal investigation needs to be undertaken immediately by the Department of Justice and by every state's equivalent attorney general's office or state investigatory unit, because there's evidence of different benefits being provided to the people who spent $100 million of taxpayer money at the last minute for their state to get the Dominion voting systems put in time for this election in different ways. There's one person that a lawyer told me got, quote, election insurance, meaning that he would be able to make sure he was elected. I'm sure they explained that feature in detail to many people who expressed interest in putting this voting system in. Texas denied certification of the Dominion system in 2019, but there are no doubt issues with the software.
Let's pause this. Okay, so I've been reading on this, and John, I'm sure you know more about this than I do, but one of the most damning things about this whole narrative, Sidney and the Trump team are alleging that politicians, perhaps on both sides of the aisle around the country, were approached by these crooked Dominion folks and saying, hey, you know what? If you pay me X amount of money, I can literally guarantee that you will win. Like the polls are saying you'll win by 1%, but you're scared, aren't you? Well, we can guarantee that you'll win if you'll pay us this money.
Well, Eric, let me jump in here.
Powell does not make these claims lightly.
Let me jump in here. The former chief of staff of the governor of Georgia, the one who won't do an honest audited recount, his last chief of staff now works for Dominion Software. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence that the governor of Georgia doesn't want a real close look at the elections in his state, that his secretary of state is refusing to like match ballots to signatures on the ballots, you know, do signature match. I mean, I really am extremely suspicious of the governor and secretary of state in Georgia. And I wonder about the integrity of the Senate race that just took place. They don't want us to look at it. And my favorite thing is the conservatives are saying, you're ruining things. We're going to lose the Senate in Georgia because of you people. We have to give them the White House so that we can maybe hold on to the Senate and maybe moderate what Joe Biden would do. There's a lot of dirt there. There are a lot of people who want to go to jail. And that's why there's so much pressure. Shut up.
Okay, that's the
nice point. Life, nice career you got there. It'd be a real shame if something were to happen to it. And that's why Rudy Giuliani, who faced the real New York mob, is not afraid of these people. But actually, I think the New York mob was kind of a benevolent institution compared to the deep state.
I think you're right. Look, In the next segment, folks, John and I, we're going to step out and have a cigarette, and I'm going to play my conversation from yesterday afternoon with the man who was part of the team that created the anti-fraud software for eBay. Do you know how much money we're talking about there? This is the man. So we're going to play that when we come back. And after that, I will continue the conversation with John Zmirak. Folks, we need you to help us spread the word on this. Spread John's article. I put it on Twitter and on Facebook. Spread any of this that you can. Time is of the essence. We need your help. We'll be back. Thank you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Hey there, folks. Very exciting guest right now. His name is Jay Valentine. He's the CEO of ContingencySales.com, a company investing in disruptive computer technologies. He's a regular contributor to Software Executive magazine, but recently he's been writing articles about voter fraud and that kind of thing at the American Thinker. Just so you understand who we're dealing with here, Jay led the team that built the eBay fraud detection engine. Did you get that, folks? Jay led the team that built the eBay fraud detection engine. He's just somebody I feel very privileged to have on to discuss what is happening with not only the Dominion voting machines, but with all this stuff in general. Jay Valentine, welcome to this program.
Hi, thank you, Eric.
You work in a field that most of us know almost nothing about. So for those of us who are curious what's happening, when we saw Sidney Powell's interview on Lou Dobbs talking about releasing the Kraken and about the voter discrepancies and finding about the origin of the Dominion machines and this technology in places where voter corruption is desired by the leadership, places like Venezuela, Cuba, a lot of us were taken aback. So what do you make of this from your position?
Well, Eric, what you are dealing with here is what we call industrial level fraud. Now, all elections have the dead guy from the War of 1812, and all elections have a few people who harvest ballots, sometimes more than others. Industrial level fraud is an entirely different situation. Industrial level fraud is where you have fraud at such a scale and it is so physically large that it actually begins to show up in some of the pattern analysis, the statistical pattern analysis that you've seen in the last few weeks from some PhD folks and a number of others.
Jay, hold on just one second. Can you make sure you're looking at the camera? Do you know what I'm talking about? There we go. Much better. So just, you moved it, but that's okay. Just keep going. Go ahead. Sorry.
So industrial level fraud is the type of a fraud that is so wide scale and it is so broad that it shows up and can show up in the statistical pattern analysis that you've seen. And it is organized. It is something that when it occurs in such a way that mathematically it creates all kinds of impossibilities. And actually, it's very easy to identify industrial level fraud. And once you've identified it, there's some pretty commonly accepted steps that you have to go through to actually determine how much, who, when, and what.
Okay, so I know that you've been writing these articles at the American Thinker, but the larger question is, are you providing this information to people who can use it before the election is stolen? Because it seems to me that you're pretty clear on the fact that some people were monkeying with these machines. That doesn't seem to be much of a question to you.
Well, clearly they were. And the type of work that needs to be done is not the type of work where you really need me or anybody else to come in and tell you. It's really basic forensic accounting fraud that would find this. The first thing that you need, which clearly the case, is you need access to those machines. If you look at the machines, the actual tabulation actually occurred, you will look at log files, you will look at source code files, and you will see, and they don't need me to do it, although I have made my fraud team available to them, you will find this type of change that occurred during that evening when votes may have been moved from candidate A to candidate B. That stuff leaves tracks, Eric.
If it's as simple as you make it sound, it's hard to believe that the president's team would not be on this. Do you have any sense whether they are?
Well, I don't. It's not like I talked to these guys. So what had happened was I wrote a couple of articles, as you saw in American Thinker. And in the articles, I noted that this is pretty standard stuff in industry. I mean, we've done big Medicaid fraud rings and we've done big property casualty insurance fraud rings. And this is a major fraud ring. And the way you find it is by looking at the voting machines, where the tabulation was done. Now, they shouldn't really be in a situation where I have to tell them that. That is not, you know, the state of the art. The state of the art is you always get a hold of the equipment and you look at those log files and that source code. And if you aren't able to do that, you're going to be very hard pressed, Eric, to find the kind of fraud you need to overturn an election of this magnitude.
Well, I don't know anything about who controls voting machines and how this stuff works and whether localities or states are able to hide these things. And I don't know who's looking into it. But I guess from your point of view, and I want to go through this a little bit with you, it is clear. In other words, you're not saying it looks that way. It seems so clear to you that it's obvious that there was criminality involved in a United States presidential election.
There was clearly organized fraud rings occurring. They use the same type of patterns in multiple states. Every one of those states is essentially what we call a different data set. So it wasn't like they used one pattern across the country. They used one pattern in state A, and then in state B, they could have chosen to use a different pattern, but they didn't. So I've reviewed the math from several of the people who've positioned it on the internet. It's available for everybody to see. And so across multiple data sets in multiple states, the same things happened. And the mathematical analysis shows that the trends and the curves and the algorithms were identical. That can only happen if a centralized authority is somehow manipulating that in multiple locations.
How many different states are we talking about where you saw this pattern?
I've seen the pattern reported in three or four states. And again, I take you back to the analyses of several of the people, the professor from MIT, whose work is widely published right now, and a number of other people who have used the pattern recognition analysis to see the data. And when I saw that, it's simply an indicator. You don't need much more than that to dig in. Now, once you have the indicator, the indicator is more than enough to then go to the next step. The indicator doesn't prove there was fraud. What it proves is that there were mathematical impossibilities in that data set. So when you see a mathematical impossibility, you get a hold of those voting machines and you look at the source code, you look at the log files, and you see what the heck happened.
Can you tell us, layman, who or what an impossibility, what kind of mathematical impossibilities we're talking about? Is that sort of thing you can translate for my listeners?
Sure. So if you look at some of the published data pattern analyses, it will show that the same algorithm was used across 6, 7, 8 precincts where it was measured, and they didn't measure every precinct, but they measured 6 or 7 or 8. And in every case, the greater the amount of Republican-only ballots where somebody voted straight Republican ticket, as that grew in intensity, a greater and greater proportion of votes were moved from Trump to Biden. So it was a pattern. And there's very good analysis out there. It has curves and graphs that anybody can understand. Now, from a layman's point of view, Eric, this is the equivalent of somebody flipping a coin 1,000 times and coming up heads every single time, but not doing it in one precinct, doing it in 3, 4, 5 of the precincts, all of which this analysis evaluated. So is that possible? Well, supposedly it is, but clearly from a rational point of view, it is the equivalent of a mathematical impossibility.
We have to underscore for people what a mathematical impossibility is. In other words, you've just done it in a way, but because I think sometimes the you know, it's like somebody who's being too polite. We have to make it very clear that even though something is mathematically possible, it's absurd. It's utterly absurd. It's like somebody, you just said, flipping a coin. If you flip a coin and it comes up heads 5 times in a row, you'd say, that is amazing. If you did it 500 times in a row, you'd say, that is fraud. There's a trick. Everyone knows there's a trick. You don't need to be smart or a mathematical genius to understand that that's not possible. That cannot happen unless somebody's gaming the system. You're talking about that level of mathematical improbability.
That's correct. And again, mathematics don't prove fraud. Mathematics are the massive smoke that tells you there's a fire. And the fire is in the software for these voting machines. And if the people who are investigating are able to get their hands on the source code and the log files and all of the transaction files for that equipment, they're going to see that there was some type of external thing that happened, or they're going to see that there is something in the source code that either at a certain point in time or under a certain circumstance made something happen that would not have happened with normal vote tabulation.
Jay, well, I'm afraid we're out of time. This has been magnificent. I'm going to send everyone I know to your articles at American Thinker, and we're going to pass along this video. Thank you so much. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like 3 pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Hey there, folks. I hope you heard that previous segment. You can't make that up. I mean, this is one of the world experts on this kind of fraud. And he made it sound like there is zero doubt. I mean, sometimes even that doesn't say it strongly enough. It's kind of like if I told you yesterday, I fashioned a pair of wings for myself, flew to within 1,000,000 miles of the sun, and flew back home again. If you said, well, there are zero odds that that happened, does that really do it justice? I mean, there's certain things that are so preposterous that you don't have words to describe how ridiculous it is. He made it clear that that's the level that he saw, that there is not a chance, that not any remotest mathematical chance that these irregularities could happen in the way they did in all these places. And this is, of course, what the Trump team is trying to talk about. John, I want to play a little bit more of Sidney Powell, and we're going to react to that. This is such important stuff. Here we go.
Texas did use, unbeknownst to Texas, I would imagine, since they went to great trouble to examine the Dominion systems and reject them. But other software, the source code that does the alterations is embedded, we have been told, in the source code all across the country and all the voting machines. There's no doubt it has been used to alter elections in other countries. We know specifically that Venezuela exported it for that purpose to Argentina and other Latin American companies to make sure that the corrupt rulers who were willing to pay the highest price for being in office were allowed to rig their elections. This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government. And we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it. And we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Thanks for watching, and if you haven't already, please consider subscribing to our channel. And while you're at it, please leave us a comment. Thank you for watching.
That last part, John, you commented on Twitter. You can hear her heart and soul speaking in those last 40 seconds. Tell us what you said about that, because you know her personally.
Right. Well, when I heard her voice quavering, my first thought was, ooh, that doesn't sound good. She doesn't sound confident. Then I realized, my God, she's looked at all this evidence. She's talked to these people. She's talked to the people who signed the affidavits and the witnesses. She knows this is real and that she's outraged. She's upset. She probably has veterans in her family who fought for this country. And now to see it being stolen away by corrupt Venezuelan dictators and foreign billionaires and deep state spooks and, you know, corrupt election officials in crappy inner cities who stuff the ballot boxes, to see what our founders and our soldiers fought to create, to see it being stolen like the election in Ukraine or some election in Belarus, to see American exceptionalism stuffed down a bus station toilet like this. Of course she's upset. You'd have to be a sociopath not to be heartbroken about this if you think it's real. And the fact that Sidney Powell, a woman of unimpeachable personal integrity, who's spent her life defending innocent people from the government, from corrupt government deep state officials, that she is convinced of this and she is saying she has the evidence. I'm willing to wait a few days. We waited a year and a half for the worthless Mueller report. We can't wait a couple of days to find out if somebody's using a backdoor to steal votes. I'm sorry, but they're trying to put in the fix. They don't want us to look into this. Powerful people don't want this even discussed. And I feel like word has been put out. If you talk about this, you won't have much of a career. And I have the power to do it. But I see people folding like cheap tents. And it strikes me as cowardice, as groupthink, as a desperate attempt to make sure that the Biden administration doesn't go after me. It's contemptible.
Well, listen, that what you just said is, I remember this happening in 2016. People, they didn't threaten me, but they basically said to me, are you insane? Hillary is going to win, and you and anyone associated with you is going to have no career. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be tossed on the garbage dump of history. You better be careful. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, first of all, even if you were right, which I didn't think they were, but even if you're right that she were to win, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to pretend that I'm in a communist country and I better be careful. Mm-hmm. People who think that way can go to hell, as far as right. I'm concerned. I live in the United States of America. People died so that I can have these freedoms, and I ought to be willing to die to preserve these freedoms, certainly to lose a career. But this is what I'm saying is that unless you understand what is at stake, unless you understand what we have, the freedoms of this republic, if you understand those things, you know that not to fight for those things is despicable. So my larger point is that I think the evidence that I have gotten, independent of what I heard yesterday at the press conference, okay, Steve Cortez gave a talk the other day. You know what? We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue with John Zmierak, folks. This is very important. Please spread the word.
They're going to put me in the movie.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show talking to John Zmierak. We are covering yesterday's press conference. I put it on our YouTube channel, the Eric Metaxas Show YouTube channel. I'm asking every single American to watch the whole thing in its entirety. You must, because it's being filtered horribly.
Lied about, and the people involved are being personally attacked, and their characters are being assassinated. I want people who maybe didn't live through the Cold War, people under 40, under 35, to know in the Soviet Union, they got smart. They stopped arresting people for their political ideas. And instead, they arrested them and said they were mentally ill. And they confined them for various made-up psychiatric diagnoses because they were dissidents against the government. They put them in mental hospitals. And now it's happening again in Europe. Politicians who complain about Islam and about Muslim immigration are being charged with mental illness. They're being told, it's being claimed that Islamophobia is a mental illness that people need to be confined and treated for. Watch your freedom shrinking as the walls are closing in.
Look, here's the point, and you're making it, but this is satanic evil. If you don't have that category in your quiver, You don't get it. When someone like Sidney Powell or Giuliani, I want to play the Giuliani clip in a second, but when they say these things, there's at least enough there to take it very seriously. Right. Okay. But even before yesterday's press conference, Steve Cortez gave a talk. We've been doing these prayer calls. He gave a summation and then sent an article. I put it all over my social media yesterday where he, in a very simple way, from his own point of view, points out four ways we can know there was fraud. In other words, it's logical. This is not just histrionics. This is very logical. I have heard other people present similar stuff. The guy that we just had earlier, there are many, many perfectly logical reasons, not ideological reasons, to suspect that evil people tried to steal an election from whom? From the American people. If you do not understand the sanctity of people voting to choose their leaders, the sanctity of the liberty won in 1776 and 1783, and blood was shed, most people don't really seem to understand this anymore. The idea that people would try to steal that, I just want to say, folks, it is one of the most despicable things imaginable. If somebody said to you, I'm going to murder and torture this child, and you said, well, I'm not sure what to think of that, or I'm not sure what, I mean, the horror of it ought to make you instantly want to do anything you can if there's a shred of evidence. We're talking about something that is so wicked, every American should be utterly outraged at the very possibility of this and should want to get to the bottom of this with everything we have to make sure either it's baloney and we know it's baloney, or if it's not baloney, to make sure that the people who did this go to jail and that everyone in America knows this will never happen again. We are a free people. We will never, ever countenance this kind of satanic corruption in our wonderful system.
And let's remember, it's corruption in service of abortion up through birth, open borders, abolishing the Electoral College, packing the Supreme Court, cooperating with China and the rest of the Great Reset in getting rid of our liberties using this virus as a pretext. It's part of a global movement to take away people's rights. They call it the Great Reset. Pierre Trudeau in Canada, Justin Trudeau in Canada already said, we're using this virus as an opportunity to accelerate the plans we've always had for remaking society in a new and better way. Build back better. If you people let this happen, when Biden does that, you're going to be gagging on it. You're going to be wearing a mask. You're going to have a vaccine, whether you wanted it or not. You're going to be locked down, and you're not going to have any freedoms. You're going to go back. If only we'd listened to Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell. They're in prison now, right? Oh, yeah. Rudy Giuliani committed suicide. I mean, honestly.
They say, right? Look, John, what you're saying, I mean, again, this is the point. There's a thing called bondage and tyranny and slavery, and most Americans, we are so coddled and so blessed, we can't even conceive of it.
Right.
When it is in front of our face, when we're being threatened with some form of it, that's the problem. Let's play this clip from Rudy Giuliani, and we'll comment on that as well.
Our goal here is to go around the iron curtain of censorship. That what publication are you with? It's to go around the outrageous iron curtain of censorship and get facts to the American people that if you were a fair and honest network, you'd have been reporting for the last 2 weeks. These are facts. These are things that actually happened. These people really wrote these affidavits. These affidavits are really part of the public record. You're concealing them. You're covering them up. And our role here is to do your job because you don't do it.
Okay, so is Rudy Giuliani making this up? Is it unhinged? If he knows what he knows, and Jenna Ellis and Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and these others have seen this evidence, they know that actual affidavits, they have them, they have hundreds of affidavits, they can't share them. Why? Because it would threaten the lives of the people who signed these affidavits. What are we missing? Why is this so difficult for people? I cannot fathom that if there is any chance that this is true, that we wouldn't use everything we have to get to the bottom of it. Because I'll tell you what, folks, can you imagine allowing somebody to get into the White House by this means? Can we imagine that in America? If they're willing to do that, what would they be willing to do beyond that?
And as my friend Paul Gottfried over at Chronicles Magazine, one of the most brilliant political observers, you should read Chronicles Magazine, read Paul Gottfried. He said, in 1960, the Democrats cheated to put JFK in office, and Nixon conceded because he thought it'd be good for the country. But back then, the two parties were not so radically different. You didn't have one party that wanted to kill babies, open the borders, take away parental rights, close the churches, and fundamentally transform the country into something else, the way the Democrats do now. This is not a time for us to pretend we're in a 1940s civic textbook. When the other side, if you're in a boxing ring and the other boxer takes out a chainsaw, you don't keep playing by the Marquis of Queensbury rules.
John, we've got to go to a break. We've got a final segment with John Zmierich. Folks, please share this. John Zmierich, I've never done this before. We have not been a breaking news kind of program in the 6 years that we've been on the air. I like to have rambling, interesting, fun conversations. We are at a place in our history I never thought that we would get here. It is horrifying to me that even Fox News seems willing to turn a blind eye to this. I don't know. Sometimes you think maybe people are wearing different glasses and they're seeing a completely different thing than what I just saw. I do not understand how you could watch that press conference. And again, it's at our YouTube channel. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. How do you watch that press conference and think that these people with quavering voices and passion are doing anything cynical? This is about as honest as anything I've ever
seen. These are people risking absolutely everything, going up against the powerful on behalf of the vulnerable. And I'm sorry, Eric, there are a lot of people out there who, when they hear that, they hear, oh my God, these Democrats are ruthless. They could get me next. I better get on their side and try to get on their good side. That a lot of people, that's what it is. They're like, oh, well, the fix is in. The Germans are marching into Paris. Let me go rewrite my resume in German and run, not walk, to greet right. the troops as they come into Paris so I can get a job.
But you sum it up perfectly. So I'm saying to my audience, what do you believe in? Because if you're capable of that, if you're capable of putting your finger in the wind and saying, oh, these people won by evil means through corruption, I better get on their side because I don't want to get in trouble. Have you no soul? Do you not believe in right and wrong? Do you not believe that there's a time to fight? People have put their lives on the line through the centuries for these things. Why would we say, well, we don't really care. I don't want to risk anything. I don't want to risk my job. I don't want to risk my neighbor looking at me funny. I mean, I don't understand how anybody with a soul and a conscience could take that view. People have taken that view. John and I have talked about this. People in Vichy France, people always take these cynical views, but surely you wouldn't want to be one of them. Surely you wouldn't want to be associated with people who would sell their souls just to save their skin. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I ask you also, if you claim to be a person of faith, really? I mean, if you're a person of faith, you don't fear death. You believe that was defeated. And that you're utterly free to do the right thing and that God is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? That's the only kind of faith that matters ultimately. And we're facing things. I don't believe I'm a Cassandra. I think this is what the evidence leads us to believe. And until it is proved otherwise, we must do everything we can. And so it's why John and I are having this conversation today. I desperately hope you will share this. We will get it up on our YouTube channel at the Eric Metaxas Show ASAP. But we've never been here before, folks. And I want to say to you, each of us has a role to play, and each of us likely will be judged by what we do now. Because if we enter the dark future where America's votes are stolen by people working with foreign governments who don't believe in the founding principles, it's no longer America.
There's no going back.
There's no going back.
In 1917, a few hundred people seized control of one building and the Soviet Union was created. And it took 70 years and tens of millions of dead people, burned churches, genocide, war, for that country to come out from under communism, and they still haven't healed and haven't become a free society. You're leaving to your children and your grandchildren if you let them get away with this. Shame on you.
We wanted to end on a sobering note. We've done it. Folks, thank you for whatever you can do to help. God bless you.